Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners on anything and everything related to growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you'd like to grow your cleaning company, you can go to growmycleaningcompany.com and get everything you need to grow the cleaning company that you've always wanted. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or you've got a question you'd like me to answer live, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com or give us a call at 480-648-5149. Today, we are chatting with Chris. I can't even speak for a living today. We're chatting with Chris Schwab from ThinkMades. ThinkMades services DC, Maryland, Northern Virginia, with residential cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Chris and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.thinkmades.com. Chris, welcome and say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hi, hello. How is everyone?
So glad you're here, my friend. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, where you're at in life, and so we can kind of connect a bit.
Sure. So I'm currently a graduating senior at a university in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be graduating in December right now. I'm 23. And I've been doing a bit of freelance web development and writing for the last couple of years because I knew I'd been wanting to travel for a while right after I graduate, but I hadn't set my heart on any one specific source of income or type of work yet, and I really wasn't sure where I was going. So I decided that I've seen a lot of cleaning companies sort of going more digital the last few years, and it seemed like a very good model to follow, and I thought that I could replicate that. I'm pretty good on the internet, so I felt that I'd be able to find customers and connect them with my cleaning company, and I really dove into the cleaning company the last 6 weeks is when we launched.
Okay, awesome. And do you guys have any clients yet?
We do. So I think we're on booking number 56 or 57 now. We're getting about a little over 10 bookings a week right now. We're looking to try and get to be doing about 2 bookings a day. I'd say around 20% of them are recurring at the moment. I want to make that sort of as high as I can, maybe 70 or 80% are recurring in the end. So we still have a lot of first-time customers at the moment, but that's just because we're doing a lot of move-in and move-out cleaning. So just because of the nature of a move-out clean, people really only need you once.
Okay, cool. Well, that is a really cool business model. Love hearing from guys still in college trying to make a buck and get their entrepreneur spirit on before they graduate. That's awesome. How can I contribute and help you today?
Sure. So big thing for me, I'm not really sure how to tackle it, is because this is a local service business instead of like a fully online business, I'm struggling with how to automate and also put a lot of mature processes in my business so that I'm able to run it from anywhere in the world. The big thing for me isn't just running it anywhere in the world, it's the time zone difference. So if I'm traveling in Asia, for example, even though I'm based in DC, I don't want to be having to take calls at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. with people who want to book or if they need to talk to the cleaners or any other thing. So I'm looking for a way to really automate my cleaning business by the time I graduate in around 6 months.
Okay, and your goal after graduation is to own, run, and grow the company while you're traveling? Not just traveling, but traveling overseas in different time zones?
That's right. So my goal is to have the core processes, dealing with recurring customers and charging and accounting and all that stuff, dealt with through someone else if I can, or on my own time, but not at a bad time. And the main goal for me is to be able to work on the marketing and the advertising and the promotions and everything else that I can do sort of at any time during the day.
Okay, so dumb question. First of all, for a little background, what are you going to school for?
So I go to school for psychology with a minor in computer science. So it's nothing related to business, but psychology sort of fits in anywhere.
Sure. Okay, but your goal is to be an entrepreneur, not pursue, psychology or anything directly related to your degree.
Right. So I did psychology for myself. I really wanted to learn more about myself and how I operate and what sort of conditioning I have and other stuff. I do want to be an entrepreneur. The psychology was just to deepen my interest in that.
Okay, cool. So dumb question. If you want to be an entrepreneur who travels and you don't have a huge business already set up with a bunch of money and infrastructure and all that into it, why choose cleaning? Why not choose like a software as a service or something that's a little more suited towards kind of a vagabond lifestyle?
Right. That's actually a really good question. That's not dumb at all. A few people have asked me that question. The answer I sort of give is it does require it's not like an affiliate site or something that requires really no startup capital. It does require startup capital, but it was little enough. It was about, I think it was $1,200 for me to really start up and get the site running and hosting and hire out the contracting teams and everything. So it required some startup capital, but I just really saw potential for how local service businesses are changing to a more digital model. You know, people call and stuff, but you can take calls from anywhere in the world now. If you have a second Skype number via Sideline or Skype, you don't have to be in their city to take their call anymore. And I felt that a local service business, when you know the area where you live, can be a really powerful entry point for you because you actually understand how your own community operates and what they're looking for, what sort of trustworthiness factors they need. And you have an overview of the landscape of competition much better than you do with an online business.
Okay. And yeah, I'm definitely going to answer your question, but I want to make sure before we teach you how to climb the ladder faster that the ladder is leaned up against the right wall. So what you said has merit in terms of knowing your community, but I do want to just kind of not just so much for you, Chris, because I don't want to, you know, if you know what you want, my goal is not to change your mind or push you in a different direction, but for the benefit of Cleaning Nation, yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. You got to be able to know your market and be living in that space or being local in that space helps. But there's just like the same tool that's going to enable you to be able to run your business virtually, you know, via email and phone and Skype and all that good stuff, is the same thing that's going to enable you or would enable you to know your company in turn or know your market and what's important to them, what their hopes and dreams and fears are. Same way. So I guess my first and foremost thing would be, and I'm going to coach you. Please don't hear me trying to push in a different direction. But if we were coaching one-on-one, not on air, my encouragement would probably be to find a business. And actually, this is not just for you, but for Cleaning Nation. So many people have a cleaning business for whatever reason, however they got into it, they have their cleaning business and they wrap their lives and warp their lives to suit the business as opposed to being the reverse and warping the business to suit their life. So I like, Chris, that you're intentionally 6 months out thinking this is the business that I want to have that's going to provide me for this kind of a lifestyle, and the lifestyle is more important than the business. The business serves the lifestyle. My life does not serve the business. That's all extremely healthy. The only thing I want to encourage you on is business is pretty tough. I would always encourage you to take the kind of, I don't want to say easiest route, but make it as easy as possible on yourself. So if I woke up in your shoes, I probably would not start a personal services business, which is what you're in, if I wanted to travel. That said, how committed are you to actually running the staff? Because it sounds like you said what you really want to do is be the client attraction piece, not the fulfillment piece. You're just doing the fulfillment piece as a necessary evil. Is that the case or did I mishear you?
Sure. There's really 2 points to that. If I can return just for a second to the former thing, I don't know if I answered your question correctly last time. So the big thing for me is with something like a local service business, like a cleaning business, it's very front load heavy where you have to establish your reputation and your brand and get your recurring customers. And I realize that it's a lot of work to get my recurring customer base. But I know that once I have those recurring customers where I'm getting 2 or 3 cleans a day from people who want cleans every 2 weeks or a month, that there's not much maintenance there beyond giving them a really good service and a really good clean each time. So that's what I'm really looking to do is really focus on the recurring cleans rather than the one-time cleans. And the next point is I actually am, so that's sort of how I started was I wanted to build my business to suit my life rather than for the business, but I'm getting more into the business side of things as I'm faced with the reality and I'm dealing with the day-to-day issues. And I actually have a really good relationship with my contract teams right now. They're actually really amazing people. And I've been happy that I've been able to help them earn a lot more than they were at previous cleaning jobs. And I think they have that loyalty with me too. So it's not that I want to be completely hands-off with the business and just have it this random thing running in the background supporting me. I do want to grow it a lot. And I'm very committed to growing my teams, not just as, you know, not just as a business, but as people too. It is a lot of work, but I think I think I'm happy to do it. I can't say it's hard to say so early on, you know, 6 weeks in, but I think this goes beyond just motivation for me. I think I'm in it for an endurance, like a very long type of thing. I'm really enjoying this.
What this is, any business is going to depend either on people or systems. So if you've got really good people, and oftentimes the owner is quote unquote the best of people, and they're always making decisions the way that they want, and they kind of have their way of doing things. And when things go off the rails, the owner figures out personally how to do it. If you don't have that owner, the next step would be to have a person that makes decisions similar to you or in the same way that you do. The problem with that is people get sick and die and change vocations and want more money and get hired away and all sorts of other things, right? They're not kind of a permanent fixture, and they're expensive, and they take a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of work, but a good general manager, someone to kind of run things for you, can take a lot of hands-on training and a lot of spooling up. It might take them 6 months or a year, to get him or her really engaged in the spot that they need. And if they stay a year or two and then leave, you've got issues. So you're kind of the first line of defense. Second would be people. Third, which is what you'd alluded to, is where you want to go, which is systems, right? If you've got really spectacular systems, then you don't need as good of people. You just need average people that will do what the system says. And that's kind of the point, I think, that you want to get to. So you've got to accelerate through stages one and two. Stage one is you doing all the work and figuring everything out yourself. Stage two is delegating that to people, but you still having to tell the people, go here, do that. To stage three, which is creating systems, which tell the people, go here, do that. Are you with me so far?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Okay, cool. So the issue I've got is, or the balance, the tightrope you're going to be walking is, the way that I've created systems, and I'm sure you could pay a consultant to come in and do it for you, a bunch of money, but I don't know that you're going to get a good return on that investment. The way I've done systems, I've virtually worked myself to the degree that I could out of every job that I had. So before I hired a cleaner, I cleaned for the first couple months. After that, before I hired people to hire my cleaners, I hired cleaners myself. So what you want to do is each, you know, kind of break down the processes of your job in terms of client attraction. Sounds like that's, you're going to handle that from afar. So you can continue being that in stage one where you're doing it yourself. But the piece of the fulfillment side, you're going to do yourself. So hopefully you've cleaned a little bit, not that you want to do it for months on end, but enough hours where you know how long things should take and what struggles and frustrations your people are dealing with. And then as you're cleaning, you write everything down. Here's how I clean. This works, this doesn't. Instead of cleaning randomly, start top to bottom, left to right, things like that. So that's creating systems as you do it. And you're identifying the frustrations that you have of, man, I worked 7 hours today and I'm freaking exhausted and I want to go home and I'm the owner. Imagine a $10 an hour employee in this position. Maybe I shouldn't do 7 hour shifts. So step one is to do the work yourself, take copious notes, which are going to be the beginnings of your system. Don't try to write a system right off the bat. Just take a lot of good notes in terms of how does this make me feel? What's working really well? What's working really poorly? Where do the hiccups come? Once you feel like you've got a good enough system to turn over to another human being, you've got to hire that human being and turn them over. So now you're doing the exact same thing. You're writing copious notes about what's working and what's not working, about hiring another human being, finding the right person, attracting them, interviewing them, getting them spooled up from 0 to 60, and then you're writing a manual for that. Step three is now you're going to hire someone to do that job, or ideally two or three people, because if I'm going to be a continent away, I don't want to have one failure point where if this guy, like I said, gets sick or dies or quits, I'm stuck. So before I leave, I'm going to want to have two or three of those people that I can turn to, or at the very least, one of those people in full-time work, and then identify two or three of those people within my work staff that are cleaners that are kind of next in line and have already said, yep, if and when I need to step up, I'm ready. So I know that was a pretty quick overview, but that's the system that I would use to build a system. Any thoughts, or does that sound like it work, or give me some feedback?
That was really good, actually. I really like that overview. I think I was thinking about only hiring like one PA to handle a lot of that stuff, but you're right. I mean, I can't just expect them to stay with me for a long time. You know, that would be foolish to just expect that. So I think hiring two or three and hiring them and making sure they understand it, even if they're not full time, that's a really good idea, man. Like, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, glad you dug it, man. The big overriding process I want you and Cleaning Nation to get, and this, I'm going to transition a little bit, but this is kind of a similar question to what you're asking, is a lot of them say things like, man, I wanted to transition out of the cleaning. So I get that you're trying to go from step two to three, transition out of the management and out, but the same applies. When they want to transition out of the cleaning, they'll say things like, well, I transitioned out of the cleaning, but then somebody quit or they didn't show up. And so now I'm back in the cleaning. And even, which is fine for the first time, but when it's the sixth time, they're like, oh, I've given up not cleaning anymore, because every time I hire someone, they quit. The big thing is you've got to have kind of plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. And the big thing is, which you're forcing yourself to do by being out of country, but in country or local people that are kind of in their business, they're plan A. When something goes wrong, they're plan A. So one of the beautiful things about what you're trying to accomplish is you're forcing yourself to be plan B or C because you're just physically not capable of being there. So I just want you to do that on purpose instead of having plan A, which is I've got John, who's my employee, who I love, who does a great job. As long as John's in place, life's good. But you just got to plan for John leaving and have plan B, C, and D. And plan E is you come back in the country as opposed to you being first up. So one of the things I mentioned was having two or three of the people identified as talent while you're gone. A third thing is you might communicate with a temporary staffing agency or just someone outside of your business that you've got kind of back up. If things go to crap, I've got a plan. So if you've got 6 months to do that, start doing the work yourself. Write all the stuff down that's working and not working. Try to break the system as frequently and as fast as possible, because when you break the system, that's how you're going to get the solutions. And you want to get all the big breaks with the hard solutions while you're still in town, so they're not happening when you're out of town. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, man.
All right, cool. That's
I'll be traveling, so if something does really go wrong, I can be able to come back to DC at a moment's notice.
Well, but yeah, that somewhat defeats the purpose, right? Like, sure, you can come back, right. But then that doesn't sound like that's a company that you're trying to set up.
Oh, it's not at all. It's just, fortunately, I have that option. That would defeat the entire purpose of me being able to travel and not worry about it.
But. And as you're planning, I would not have you as an option. I would assume you're just unwilling, unable, it's impossible for you to come back and make plans around that reality as opposed to, I'll just come back, because that's easier said than done when you're sitting in Asia and who knows how often planes get there. Best case scenario, if you're willing to spend a ton of money, you still might take 48, 60 hours for you to get back. And that's assuming you're willing to spend a lot of money and drop everything instantly. So in your planning stage, I would plan like, I'm leaving this company and I'm never coming back. Obviously, you know, you can come back, but have that as the fifth or sixth option, not the first or second. All right. I want to make sure we get a chance to do the lightning round. I have a feeling as a young, bright guy, you're going to have a lot to contribute. So let's hit that real quick. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to give three outstanding answers. Question number one, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business?
Biggest mistake so far. Just take a second to think about that.
Yeah, I know you're newer, so hopefully you don't have too many, but I just love learning from other people's mistakes.
Sure. It's probably a quick little story about my worst clean. So a lady contacted us to clean about, I'd say 3 weeks ago now. And she was fine. The cleaning went well. She was really impressed with the cleaning. However, she called me back, wanted to book a recurring clean. So we booked it for a week and a half. So 10 days later that she wanted. So that was fine. And then about 3 days after she booked the recurring clean, she called me. This is actually the day that I was going to my grandfather's funeral as well. She called me right before I went to the funeral saying that one of the teams we had sent, who we had vetted very carefully. I have a strong vetting process I can talk about if you want me to. We had vetted her very carefully, and she was pretty reliable and trustworthy as far as I knew. This lady had a partner who had severe anxiety, and she claimed that my cleaner had taken out her anxiety medication and replaced it with other pills, so essentially stealing her anxiety medication. And I had never dealt with a theft problem or something this serious at all before, because I was so new, and I just really didn't know how to handle the situation at all. So I was telling the lady, like, I need to investigate further. I need to ask the team. I was honest with her that I really didn't know what to do with this situation. But I was also scared because I hadn't been incorporated yet. The advice I'd been given when I started by someone was to just get your feet on the ground and get running before you worry about incorporating and insurance and all this other stuff. So I was really, really worried about getting sued by this lady and having no limited liability protection. So not having that limited liability protection from the beginning was my biggest mistake. She didn't end up suing me. She was very understanding. She even said, her partner has her own business, so she understands problems occur like this. She even left me a nice review because she was impressed with the cleaning. But that potential lawsuit was a big mistake to leave myself open for. And if I could go back, I would have just spent the extra money to incorporate.
All right, good feedback. And I just so you know, I can't imagine the liability of someone taking her pills unless she needed them to live and wasn't able to access them would be lawsuit worthy. But in this sad state of the country, anyone can sue anybody for any reason. So I don't think it's a lawsuit that would have really exposed you to a lot of liabilities, but certainly the legal piece of just having to defend yourself could have been expensive, but that would have been the same LLC or not. Okay, great answer. Next question. What's the best piece of advice you've received?
Think about that one for a second. I suppose it would be to do everything that I do very mindfully. I've gotten into meditation a lot the past couple of years, and I sort of do, when I'm exercising, I do sort of an exercise type meditation as well. And I'm trying to do everything now very mindfully. Just try and take a few deep breaths when I'm in a stressful situation or something else and just take a moment to pause and think about it. And I think that's really helped a lot, not just in my exercise or for myself or my studies, but in my business too. I think not allowing yourself to get caught up when you notice that you're getting caught up is a really important thing for every single area of your life, no matter what it is. And I think that even though I've only been doing it for a couple of years, it's contributed so much to me.
Hard to argue with being mindful. Thank you for sharing that. All right, last question, one of my favorites. What is one idea that Clean Nation can put into practice right now? Big, little, small, business, personal, doesn't matter. Just something that we can implement right away that'll improve our lives or our business.
Sure. So I'm sure that a lot of members of Cleaning Nation probably use the platform Thumbtack. If you don't, it's a really good platform. It's a little expensive, but it's worth it. So one thing that's helped a lot for me is since I'm very new and I've only got about 30 hires right now, as opposed to some big company with 1,000 good reviews and 1,000 hires, it's very hard to compete with that. So what I did, instead of competing during prime time, like Monday, 9, 10 a.m. with them, I wait until night to actually post. So when I see someone post on Thumbtack at like 8 or 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., then I'll send a quote to them. Because the chances are most of the other big cleaning companies have a normal schedule and they're off by 5 or 6 p.m. They're not posting at 8 or 9 or 10 p.m. So I'm usually the first quote that people see. And so I think that's a good little way to get ahead and get first.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That is exactly something that they can put into practice right now. Thank you for that little tip. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your vision for traveling and growing a cleaning company. If you want to check out Chris's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.